in trouble. That's probably why the Apostle Paul here, whenever he started out any of his letters, he says, oh, he just talks about God's grace and God's mercy. And he just can't believe that God would ever take somebody like him and use him and let him be God's servants. Do you see that in his writings? Isn't that where we are too? Same thing. Often before I go to preach somewhere or share, say, God, who am I? I'm just Larry. You know, and but God uses Larry's. God uses whoever you are because of what the Lord Jesus has done for us. Wonderful passage to consider. And of course, none of us here ever have any problems with sin, right? We realize how important that is in our lives. And so we thank God for that and for his blessing to us in that way. We live in a world today where everybody's just happy and thrilled and no problems, right? See, you live in the same world I live in. There's so many around us that are down and out. You agree with that? Down and out people. There's so many around us that are grumpy. You ever go to work? Or you don't even have to go to work, just get up in the morning. You know, just a lot of grumpy people around there. People are so dissatisfied. Listen to the news. Do you see satisfied people? Man, they're so dissatisfied with everything. I mean, there seems that there just isn't anything that people seem to be really encouraged about. There's a hopelessness in our society today. A hopelessness. And there's so many foul-mouthed people around. Do you ever notice that? I mean, sometimes you can hardly stand to be where you are. Have you ever felt like that? Oh, man. Sometimes we might even get up and move a seat when we're in a public place because of just the foul-mouthed people that are around us. Just a bunch of yucky people. Yucky people with bad attitudes. And, you know, that's our world. And yet at the same time, oh, by the way, do you know any people like that? No, I see. You don't know any people like that. You meet any? You met any today? You don't have to answer that. Okay. Yes. Do you live with any? You don't have to answer that either. And yet on the other side, people say, I want to be happy in life. You ever heard that? Or they'll say, I need to feel satisfied in my life. I need some kind of satisfaction. Or they might say, I want a good life. Look at the advertisements. How many of them talk about the good life? You want the good life. You drink this. You want the good life. You do that. They want that good life. They want joy in their lives. Well, I got news for them and for us. You know what it is? Is that God promises an abundant life. Do you like that? God promises that. In John 10:10, a verse that you know so well, it says this: the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, and I came that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. You notice? He gives the other side first. He said the thief comes, Satan comes. And he comes for what? To steal and to kill and to destroy. What do we see in our world today? People in the name of religion are stealing, killing, and destroying, aren't they? People in the name of their philosophy, in the name of their country, in the name of wherever they are, they're practicing this on a daily thing. I mean, it's the main thing of their lives. That's what they do. Contrast that with what Jesus says. Jesus says, I came that they might have an abundant life. Do you like that? That's why I came, that they might have an abundant life. In verse 9, before that, he says that he was the door. Jesus says, I am the door. And then he says, I come that they might have an abundant life. And I want to tell you today that nobody can find an abundant life outside of Jesus. Isn't that true? And that's why they're in the situation that they're in. And they say, if you change this law, if you change politics, if you change our leaders, if you change all of this, And you know, we know as God people that that's just a lot of baloney. We know that the real answer for an abundant life we find only in Jesus. How many times he says, I am, you see, because there is no other. He's the solution. And it's interesting also in a verse that you all know well is that Jesus, God offers us a transformed life. In Romans 12 and verse 2 it says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Goes right along with the passage that Gary read to begin our message time. Because that's his desire for us in our lives, that we could prove that which is good and acceptable and perfect. You see, he says that he gives us a transformed mind. So God not only promises an abundant life, but he promises us a transformed mind. Do you know why you think like you do? Do you know why you live like you do? Do you know why your morals are what your morals are? It's not because you're great, but it's because the Lord Jesus has transformed your heart and life. Amen? You see? That's where it is. And so Jesus provides for us. He says, I have an abundant life for you, and I have a transformed life for you. He gives us a new mind. The Holy Spirit changes our thinking. Oh, praise God for that. You remember what it was like before you knew the Lord? Maybe some of you came to know the Lord early. But I want to tell you, Jesus makes a difference in our lives. He transforms our minds. We grow through the Scriptures. Isn't that true? That's why you come. That's why you want to hear the Word of God. That's why you want to read the Word of God. That's why you want to be involved in the message of God. Because you grow. And it strengthens your life. And sometimes you just leave after a message and you say, thanks God for that. Boy, I needed that badly in my life. Thank you for helping me. Thank you for showing me that in my life which is not according to your perfect will and acceptable in your sight. You see. In Romans 12:1, he says, he urged to give yourself to God. And then you know what he says? He says, it's reasonable and it's logical. Give yourself to God. It's reasonable and it's logical. You see, holy living is approved by God. Why do you think Gary read those verses on holiness? Why do you think the Word of God so often speaks about holiness? It's the heartbeat of God. He wants us to have an abundant, holy life in Him. He wants us to have a transformed mind. That's His desire for us. He's a holy God. He says, be holy, for I am holy. And we can only be holy in the Lord Jesus. And we know that. And so He promises us this. He says, this is what I have for you. It's interesting also that in John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. This is what God provides for us. This is what God desires for us, that we might have an eternal life. And then it's interesting also that God promises us a long life. In Psalm 34, 12 and 13, and it's repeated in the passage that we looked at in 1 Peter 3:10. For let him who means to love life and see good days refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking guile. Let him who means to love life. You see, the problem in our life is not what God has promised, but our unwillingness and man's unwillingness to follow that which God has promised. Isn't this good news? Abundant life, transformed mind, eternal life, long life. God's promises to us. But you know, there's always a problem with what God gives to us or what God promises us. You know what it is? They're always linked together with some conditions. And that's what we find in 1 Peter 3, 8 through 12. If you want to open your Bibles there, you can, to follow along or just listen along. But there are some conditions that need to be done. And those conditions we find right here in this passage. You know, this was the desire of Peter for them. For instance, he said, to sum it up, let all be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. For you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. This was Peter's desire for the believers. For this is your pastor's desire for you as a congregation. This is God's desire for us as believers. It's His will for us that we live in this way. And when God gives us conditions, and when God gives us teachings, we're going to find that we have a responsibility to those teachings. In John 17, in verses 21 through 23, we read this. John 17, verses 21 through 23. That they may all be one, even as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. That they also may be in us. That the world may believe that thou didst send me. And the glory which thou hast given me, I have given to them. That they may be one, just as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be perfected in unity, that they may know that thou didst send me, and that thou and didst love them, even as thou didst love me. You see, God had a desire that when others saw us in our fellowship together as one in the Lord Jesus, that they might know that we are of God, and that He is in us, and that we are in Him, and that together we serve Him. We call this the blessedness of fellowship. This is what God desires for us in our lives. As believers in the Lord Jesus, He wants us to promote unity and peace in our fellowship. Not disharmony and not confusion. There are many Christian fellowships today that live in disharmony and confusion. Isn't that sad? Isn't that sad? That's not God's will. That's not God's will for them. In Corinthians, He said that there be no divisions among you. You see, the Lord Jesus has set some high goals for us as His people. And He wants us to enjoy having what we have in Him. He says, as you live together, be sympathetic with one another. Have compassion for one another. Don't be callous to others and their lives and their needs and their sufferings. You know, when He tells us to do that, He's telling us to forget ourselves. And He's telling us to identify with the needs and the sorrows and the pains of others. Well, that's a pretty heavy load, isn't it? Because we don't naturally do that. I want to tell you that naturally we think about ourselves. Did you know that? Come on, let's be honest. And He wants us to think about others, to be involved in the lives of others, to be sympathetic to others, to feel the heartbeat of others. That's why often we say, boy, I'd hate to live alone. I'm sure glad for the family of God. If it wasn't for God's people, how would I make it? Where do you go when you're down? You turn to God's people. That's where you go, you see. You turn to your brothers and sisters in Christ because they are real. And they have real answers. And there's real fellowship there. And so He encourages them. And so He talks about having brotherly love one to another. And then He says, be tender-hearted and courteous. Sometimes just a hug of a brother or sister in Christ does the whole thing, doesn't it? You see? And so He desires, this is God's desire for us. This is Peter's desire for them. This was John's desire for them, that they lived in such a way. But it's interesting that in verse 9 he says, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving blessing. For you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. Do not return evil for evil. That's a natural response, isn't it? To return evil for evil. Somebody says something to you, what do you want to do? I want to say it back to them. Somebody bumps you, you want to bump them right back, you see. That's our natural. You ever see any kids playing together? You hit me first. That's why I hit you back. It's our natural desire. And as believers, mature believers in the Lord Jesus, do we have that temptation? Do we have that temptation? If we're honest before God, that's one of the first things that comes up in our hearts and our minds, you see. But we don't want to react, do we, according to the deeds of the flesh. But we want to react according to a transformed heart and mind in the Spirit of God. And he says, it's interesting that he says instead that we're to respond with blessing. We're called to bless others. Then it says that we will inherit a blessing. You know, to bless others, you know what that means? That means to speak well of. That's bad news for us, isn't it? It's so easy to say something that we shouldn't say to somebody that's wronged us. And so he says, speak well of them. Serve them. In fact, he even says that we should pray for those. Wow. That's his desire for us in our hearts, in our lives. Do you know why he does that? You know why God teaches us that way? You know what the other people need? They need what we have in the Lord, you see. And what we have in the Lord, they don't have, or they're not practicing. They're not allowing God to work through their lives if they have it. And so he says, this is your opportunity. Show them the way I respond in and through your life. We know God's mercy. We just talked about we wouldn't be anywhere with God's mercy. You know what the next question is? Do we show mercy? That's a bigger question, isn't it? Boy, I understand God's mercy for me because I just wouldn't be anywhere if it wasn't for God's mercy. If God gave me what I deserved, be bad news for Larry. God wants us to show mercy to others. And he said we'll be blessed because we do that. I think that what Peter's telling us and what John's telling us and what Paul has taught us is this. That what we do makes a difference in our lives. How we act as believers is important. Do you read that in scriptures? Read that, don't you? What we do is important. How we act is important. In verse 10 it says, for let him who means to love life and see good days refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking guile. I don't know why he put this verse in here because, boy, this starts to hit really close to home, doesn't it? You see? I mean, to say to do good, that's one thing. And to say refrain from evil, that's another thing. But when he says something like this, you better refrain the tongue from evil and keep the lips from speaking guile. Now he's getting really, really pointed. Now he's getting down to where it hits close to home. You see, it says in this verse that their desire was to love life. Didn't we start out that way? And it says that their desire was to see good days. But then he also said there's something that affects this in your life. There's something that affects this good life. And he says, it's your tongue and it's your lips. And we say, ouch. The tongue, he said, don't speak evil. With the lips, don't speak deceit. Now we're going to get back to this in a little bit. That is, we're going to talk more about the mouth. But we want to go to verse 11. And it says, and let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. You see, you turn away from evil. And you do good. You notice how I said we had to turn away? That passage that Gary read was so important for us earlier because That's what we have to do with evil, isn't it? We have to turn away from it. And guess who gives us the strength to turn away from it, to do good? It's the Lord Jesus in our lives. In verse 12, we read, "For the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears attend unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, on the holy. His ears attend to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those that do evil. He knows. He's interested in our lives. His eyes are upon us. Do you like that? It's scary, though, sometimes, isn't it? Sometimes we just have to say, "Boy, I was so foolish, Lord. I thought, you know, that was hidden." And you see everything. You know everything, you see. And the ears, they attend to our prayers. He's involved in our life. He knows about our life. If you think that you're out of God's care, you're not. You're in the very center of God's care. His eyes are upon you. His ears are upon you. And then it says the face. I like that. The face of the Lord is against those that do evil. Boy, does the face tell us anything? You can just look at somebody's face sometimes and you can just tell an awful lot by that face, right? Can you tell when they're angry? Proverbs tells us we can tell when they're angry. It talks about the sweet face. Somebody might say, "I'll never forget the sweet, loving face of my mother." You ever heard that? Talk about the face. The face tells. And you know, speak of the whole counsel of God, his face is against evil. You see that? And he lets them know that. And so let's just sum up what we have in these verses. If you want to have joy and peace as a believer, verse 8, love your brother. Verse 9, have right responses. Verse 10, a proper speech in your life. Verse 11, leave evil. And verse 12, remember the eyes of God. Love righteousness. That's what he's telling us. I've always told my kids at home growing up and use this expression a lot, and it's this. Do it God's way. If my kids were here, they'd tell you, "Yeah, Dad, you said, do it God's way, you get God's results." Isn't that it? If you do it God's way, you get God's results. What if you don't want to do it God's way? Do we have that choice? We do. We have that choice. You don't have to do it God's way. If you, I mean, God doesn't sit up and say, "Hey, you're going to do it, buddy." God teaches us and God helps us, but we can decide if we don't want to do it God's way. And you know that, and I know that, because we've already made that choice, haven't we, in our lives? Isn't that true? God says, "Do it this way," and we choose to not do it. And the question is, what if I don't want to do it God's way? Will it make a difference in my life? Boy, that's a big question, isn't it? That's an important question in our lives. John 13:17 says this. If we know these things, you are blessed or happy if you do them. Short little verse, isn't it? Powerful little verse. Do you know anything about God's teachings at all? Right now you're probably saying, like I would, "Boy, I wish I didn't know a thing." You see. But he says, if you know these things, you are blessed or you are happy if you do them. So I choose not to do that. What happens? If we don't do it, we lose a measure of that happiness or that blessing. You see that? Sometimes we just live miserably as God's people because we're unwilling to do it the way God wants us to do it. We're unwilling to follow the teachings that God has given to us. And are there ramifications for that? Yes, there are. We lose that sense of happiness. And all of us can think of times when we haven't done it God's way. And how we were down in the mouth then, and how we were sad. And how when God brought us to our repentance before Him, and we confessed that sin before Him, and we began to live according to His Word, what came back was that complete joy, you see. It's complete joy. We don't lose our joy, but we lose that. Somehow in the Word of God teaches that we lose a measure of that joy. And he talks about he'll just fill our cup back up again that'll be full. And in fact, the whole book of 1 John was written teaching us how to deal with sin, that your joy might be complete, I think it is, in verse 4. You see, he wants us to have that joy and that happiness and that peace in our lives, but we choose not to have it when we choose not to obey him. So if we know these things, we're happy if we do them. Notice here in this verse that God blesses us for how we respond. You notice that? God blesses us for the way that we respond. Well, then there's another verse in Philippians 4:9 that says this. Philippians 4:9. Those things which you have learned and received and heard and seen in me. Now, if he just left it right there, it'd be wonderful. But he says, do. And the peace of God shall be with you. And if you decide not to do it God's way, guess what you lose? You lose a measure of peace in your life as a son of God. As a child of God, you lose a measure of peace because you've chosen not to do it the way that God wanted you to do it. Have you learned anything? You received anything? You heard anything? You seen anything in the Lord Jesus? Sure we have. He said, if you want peace in your life, obey that and do it. And if you decide to do it your way, you're going to lose a measure of that peace in your life. You wonder what happens to us sometimes in our Christian walk? You see how it comes about? You see how sometimes we don't have that blessedness in our lives, that happiness or that peace in our lives? It's because we refuse to do it the way that God wants us to do it. Well, it doesn't end there. You want another one? Say, no, I don't want any more. That's enough. Two's enough. All right, let's do one more. Okay. 1 John 3:22 says this, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Wow, this is a tough verse. You know what it says? That if we don't do it God's way, we lose a measure of his answers to us in our prayers. Look what he said. He says, if we ask, we receive of him. Why? Because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And if we don't, God is saying it might hinder our prayers. And God's in control of that. I don't know how he does that. I know we can still come boldly before him. But you know what God wants? He wants a holy fellowship. You see that? And what these verses teach us is that if we don't do it God's way, there's ramifications in our lives. And sometimes we just don't have that complete happiness, that blessing in our lives. Sometimes we just don't have that peace in our lives. Sometimes we just don't feel like I can just go to God just with anything. Sometimes we feel like there's something that's in the way. You ever been there? You see? And what's the answer? The answer is to be obedient to God and to do it God's way. If we don't do it God's way, there are consequences. You know, sometimes there are problems in life that come from without. We all understand that. We know that. And God never promised us a life without difficulties, problems, concerns. Isn't that true? He promises us that, his life. I get amazed at how Paul, when he talked to Timothy, I don't know how many times he said, come join me in suffering, Timothy. Come follow the Lord. Join me in suffering for him. We'll go through this together. I can tell you after my whole life of service, serving him, Paul says, that you can come join me. I've had some really tough times. God doesn't promise us a life without. But God does promise us that if we do it his way, that we have his peace in our hearts and our lives. We have his blessing in our hearts and our life. We have his fellowship in our hearts and our lives. And we can come to him boldly, even at the throne of grace, you see, because we have that right fellowship, because we have his holiness in and through our lives. There's things in our lives that we can't control. But if we do it God's way and control those things that we can, it changes the quality of our Christian life. Do you want that kind of quality in your life? Do you want what God has for us? Well, there's one problem here, and I don't know how much time we have, but we'll just take some more time right here. One thing in our life that can be used for tremendous blessing or utter destruction, and guess what it is? I told you we'd get back to it. It's our speech. It's our tongue. And it's our mouth. And God spends a lot of time on this in the Scriptures. Why do you think so? Do you know something that right here from this pulpit, and you've seen some today already, and you know from your past, that what is said from here, up here, can make you laugh, right? You already did that today. Or it can bring you to tears. But what I say up here today, I can make you laugh. I can bring you to tears. And I can make you feel anger. Isn't that true? Make you feel anger. Or I could cause you to shout for joy. You see? In other words, what we know is that words are powerful. Wow, they're powerful. And we know that words affect our lives. You ever heard the expression, you better watch your big mouth? You've heard that one. You know that one. Or words kill. Or I can't believe you just said that. You see? I mean, just what was said that just changed there. Or shut up. Why do they say that? Because what you're saying, I mean, your words are, they're powerful. They're doing something. And of course, none of us here ever have any problem with our mouth, right? But we'll keep going on anyway. With our words, with what we say. Let's look a little bit more about what God's Word says about this. Just a couple more thoughts. Matthew 12:34. O brood, generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. But because it comes from our heart. You know what David prayed? Listen to this verse. Psalm 19:14. He said this. Let the words of my mouth. You know this verse, don't you? And the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength, my rock, my redeemer. You see, the heart is our inner man. You might say that it's just what we are, what we really are. Now, this is scary. You probably heard me say this before. But our mouth is like the television screen of our heart. I don't know a better way to say it. That's what he's saying in this verse. Do you believe that? Because you know what we say? Oh, that wasn't me. I just said that. That's not really me. You know what God says? God says what's in the heart comes out the mouth. And so that's scary for Larry. You know why? Because I can listen to my words and know what's in my heart. That's bad news, isn't it? Or maybe that's good news. Maybe that's God allowing us to know what's in our hearts so that we can turn it over to Him, so He can change our hearts, so He can make our hearts right and pure before Him, so we can know His peace and His joy and His fellowship in our lives. Psalm 17:3. Thou hast tried or proven my heart. Thou hast visited me by night. Thou hast tested or tried me. And thou dost find nothing. I have purpose that my mouth will not transgress. He already said first, God, you looked at my heart, you didn't find anything. I have purpose that my mouth will not transgress. We've all heard that there's probably not anything open more than the mouth by mistake. A lot of things come out of the mouth. Let's look at one example from the Scriptures, and we'll close with this morning. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 50. It's a fantastic passage for us. Genesis chapter 50. Just let me read this passage and make a few comments. on this. Genesis 50:15. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "What if Joseph should bear a grudge against us and pay us back in full for all the wrong which we did him?" Did Joseph's brothers do anything wrong to Joseph? You remember that? I mean, they treated him like, you know, the best brother in town, right? They did everything evil against him, and I don't need to go into that. But you know what they said here? What if he would pay us back? You see, because man naturally wants to return evil for evil. You see that? And Jesus told us not to do that. Don't pay back evil for evil. And they knew that as brothers. That's what people do, is they pay back evil for evil. In verse 16, so they sent a message to Joseph saying, "Your father charged us before he died, saying, 'Thus you shall say to Joseph, please forgive, I beg you, the transgressions of your brothers and their sin, for they did you wrong. And now, please forgive the transgressions of the servants of the God of your father.'" What are they doing? They're begging. They're begging out of fear, you see. They're begging out of fear. And they're saying, "Oh, please forgive me. Please forgive us. Please. Please." And what did Joseph do? He said, "Not on your life. Boy, you let me have it, and now you're going to get it. I'm in charge now. Now I have the power. Now I'll let you have it. You guys are going to suffer now." He could have done that, right? He could have done that. What did Joseph do? Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Verse 18, then his brothers also came and fell down before him and said, "Behold, we are your servant." They were afraid. But Joseph said to them, "Do not be afraid. For am I in God's place? And as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about this present result, to preserve many people alive. So therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones." Now notice this passage, this sentence right here, so important. So he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. See that? So he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. If somebody talks to you in anger, you think they need another angry person talking back to them? If they talk to you in anger and you respond in anger, do you think they're seeing the Lord Jesus in your heart, in your life? You see, if they talk to you in anger and you respond in anger, you know what you have? You have two angry people instead of just one. You could say something like this, "You know, I don't know what's bothering you, but would you like to tell me so I could help you?" Whew. You ever done anything like that? I mean, when they're angry? You see, because God told us in the Word of God that, and guess where the anger comes from when somebody says something? We say, "You made me angry." They don't make you angry. What's the Word of God say? The Word of God says the anger comes out of our heart, right? It comes out of our heart, comes through our mouth. That's where it comes from. It comes from within. They don't place anger in your heart. But you know what they do? They give you an opportunity to see if there's still any anger there. And if you find out that there's some anger there, then you can take care of it. Isn't that wonderful? You see, God gives us a lot of opportunities to see what's in our heart. That's what we find out day by day. You ever notice that? Gives us a lot of opportunities by all these other people that are around us. And then we get to respond in the right way. You see, then when we do it God's way, we get God's result. When we respond as God wants us to respond, then they see the Lord Jesus in our hearts and lives. Let's close with 2 Corinthians 4:7. It says this: "But we have this treasure, this new life in Christ, in earthen vessels, our human bodies, that the surpassing greatness of the power may be of God and not from ourselves. The power in our lives does not come from man ourselves, but comes from God." Paul understood that. That we know the surpassing greatness of the power of God comes from God, and it's in our life. Joseph was a pretty good example for us. You know that? Pretty good example. You see, he didn't respond in the same way that his brothers talked to him, but he responded according to the needs of their heart. God wants us to respond according to the needs of the hearts of the people that are around us as we live daily for Him. And you know what their need is? Their need is to know of God and of the Lord Jesus and of the abundant life that we have in Him and of the transformed mind that we have in Him and of the eternal life that He has for us and of the blessing that He gives us through peace and happiness and fellowship when we obey Him and when we do it God's way. Isn't it good to be on God's team? Are you glad that you're His? Do you think He can help you to live a life that's right before Him? Everything in the Word of God indicates that our strength is in Him. Everything in the Word of God indicates that He wants to help us to live victoriously, doesn't it? Everything in the Word of God teaches us that He has the power and the armor that's necessary in our lives to please Him and to be witnesses for Him and to be testimonies for Him and to live in His peace and in His holiness and in His joy, you see, and in His fellowship. And that's where we want to be. Is that where you want to be this morning? Let's pray. Father, we're just grateful to You for all that we have in the Lord Jesus. And thank You for the abundant life that You've promised to us. Thank You for transforming our minds. And thank You for teaching us from Your Word and giving us desire to please You. We just bless You for that this morning. And we give You thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.